That's a great hymn in which to process our holy gospel. And as we were singing and processing, I was thinking, ah, this is the way we ought to do it every week. You know, we're proclaiming the good news. And this is good news, and with that joy and that excitement. So, the healing of Bartimaeus. What is it all about? During the brief years of Jesus's ministry, people still got sick. They got lame, blind, suffered, they died. Jesus did not physically heal everyone, or actually even a great number of people. Nor was he the only healer around. We have stories of his own disciples healing in his name. There are also writings about other healers of that time. For example, Hanina Bendoza and Honi the circle drawer. From all that we can gather from the gospel stories, Jesus never healed in private. He never healed simply to amaze and impress. He healed to teach. He healed to teach about God. According to our gospel writer, this is the last miracle of Jesus. Jesus is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Now, Jericho is a large oasis city. It's the oldest walled settlement in history. It was built somewhere around 9,000 BC. And it's also the lowest town in the world, 800 feet below sea level. That's kind of hard for my brain to fathom. By the time of Jesus, Herod had built a palace, aqueducts, an amphitheater, hippodrome, and even a swimming pool there. Jericho's roads were heavily traveled, and at Passover, the traffic was intense. Las Vegas comes to mind right now for some reason. One can imagine, though, how this time and place would attract beggars. You know, beggars counting on folks to be in a generous mood. It's a holiday time, it's Passover, such as today at our holiday times, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's a known seasons for giving. But notice this beggar's outcry was not for money. As he loudly shrieks at Jesus, "Have mercy on me," not allowing the crowd to silence him until Jesus responds. And Jesus' response is, as it often was, a question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? That phrase may sound familiar. Recalling last week's lesson, gospel lesson, Jesus asked the disciples James and John, "What do you want me to do for you?" So I think that Mark might be trying to catch our attention here with Bartimaeus, and again, that response of Jesus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Do you remember what James and John asked for? "Let us sit at your right hand and your left when you come into your kingdom." Well, my gosh, you know, how selfish and self-seeking is that? You know, put us at the place of honor. And at first glance, Bartimaeus' request to see again could possibly be considered as selfish as well. But it quickly loses that consideration, at least for me, as we move to the end of the story. Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately, we're told, he regained his sight and he followed. He didn't go, but he followed. He followed Jesus on the way. Followed Jesus on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the cross. "Go," Jesus says, "your faith has made you well. Not what you've done, not the good deeds of your past, not as recompense for your suffering." The moral character of Bartimaeus, his past, his parentage, even his present plight, does not seem to be relevant to Jesus. It is his faith that Jesus singles out. "Your faith has made you well." Faith in what, we might ask? The reputation of Jesus? Probably yes. But even more than that, his faith, I believe, in a God-spirited, merciful response from Jesus. Bartimaeus repeatedly calls Jesus son of David. David, David of history, favorite of God. If one is familiar with the story of David, as Bartimaeus surely was. The man Jesus, just by his presence, conveyed hope to Bartimaeus. The hope of the showering of God's mercies upon him, just as they had been showered upon David. Just as they had been showered on the people of Israel every time they returned to God. Mercy is not the same as justice. Mercy, thank God, goes well beyond what we deserve. God's mercies are God's favors, God's gifts to us. This is how God operates. This is why we, like Bartimaeus, can be full of the assurance of hope. Bartimaeus received two gifts, at least, two favors, two mercies. The most obvious, the return of his sight. The less obvious, that opportunity to follow Jesus. Jesus is not just healing a particular person here. Like I said, he's also teaching. Still teaching James and John and the others, those who have ears to hear, as they travel toward Jerusalem. Jesus won't always be with them. When he's gone, they will have that choice. They will have that choice to turn to God. They will have that choice. What should they ask for from God? What can they hope to expect from God? Perhaps the two little more contemporary following vignettes will assist our understanding. The first is told by a man battling a malignant tumor in his spine. And he tells us that Jesus appeared to him in something of a vision, he says, somehow by the Sea of Galilee. And the man relates, Jesus silently took up handfuls of water and he poured them over my head and my back till water ran down my puckered scar. Then he spoke once, your sins are forgiven. And he turned ashore again, done with me. I came on behind him thinking in standard greedy fashion, it's not my sins I'm worried about. What should we ask for? What can we expect? C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, tells us this. If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. What do we really want and desire? What do we really want Jesus to do for us? Let me put it another way. Do you want to use God merely for requesting what you think you deserve or need or want? Or do you dare to request God's mercy, willing to accept whatever that might be? Do you dare to request God's mercy, willing to have your eyes opened? Do you dare to request God's mercy, even if your lives are changed in some way you have not yet imagined, as you too are given the opportunity to follow Jesus? His sermon is meant to be food for thought. Our thoughts regarding our relationship with God, our thoughts about really following Jesus. So here's one more little morsel to add to the mix. St. Augustine made a marvelous distinction between two kinds of love. In Latin, they're called uti, U-T-I, and frui, F-R-U-I. Uti love is love of youth. You know, I love money, I love my car, I love my phone. I love these things because I can use them to accomplish my desires, to make life easier for me, but whatever, they help me and I love them for that. Frui, F-R-U-I, love, is love of enjoyment. Enjoyment. I love chocolate, really enjoy it. I love hiking. I love friends. I love playing the piano. If we return to our two gospel scenarios with James and John, and then Bartimaeus, hearing Jesus asking each one, what do you want me to do for you? It's somewhat obvious that James and John want to love Jesus in that uti way, use Jesus to accomplish their own desires. With Bartimaeus, it's not so obvious as he pleads for God's mercy, God's love. As he turns to follow Jesus, then I think we can name that action frui love, loving Jesus just to simply be in his presence and follow where he leads. Do we dare ask for the desire, the love, to be in the presence of God and follow where God leads? To be in the presence of Jesus and follow where Jesus leads. To be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and follow where the Spirit leads. There's a scripture passage in Luke, Luke chapter 10, 17 to 24, that I find delightfully full of this sense of frui love. The 70 disciples, after being sent out, they have returned with joy. We don't see that word joy very often in our Gospels. The 70 disciples, after being sent out, have returned with joy, reporting great success in their ministry. And in turn, Jesus is almost beside himself with joy. Luke tells us that Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and thanked God, that the disciples saw God's power, God's love for the world at work through them. And with an exclamation point in the text, we don't see those very often either, conveying his excitement, Jesus tells them, blessed are the eyes which see what you see. Exclamation point. Uti love, frui love. James and John, Bartimaeus. I believe that each new day, Jesus is waiting to say to us, as he said to blind Bartimaeus, as he said to James and John, as he probably said to many others along the way, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And one possible response is, fill me with the desire to be in your presence and the joy to follow where you lead. Fill me with the desire to be in your presence and the joy to follow where you lead. Amen.